From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you. Honor to be here.
I just wanted to start by talking about horror in general. What was your first exposure to it? Do you remember like the first maybe horror film?
First exposure to it was just pieces of it, right? I mean, you're a kid looking at video boxes and posters. And I remember distinctly getting really freaked out by the Nightmare on Elm Street poster.
Oh, man.
That,
yes.
You know, so surreal and weird and just, you know, real lesson. The first lesson you sort of learn as a horror fan, I think, is that the mystery of what's going on behind this movie, that mystery is the scariest thing of all. So
not knowing what's going to happen.
Not knowing what's going to happen. Often the idea of a horror movie is scarier than when you actually see the horror movie.
I would say almost all the time.
Most of the time. And, that, you know, that's for a very human reason, right? The unknown. We're genetically geared to fear the unknown, which, of course, is a sort of human demon that permeates through this movie that I've made.
Yes.
But, I definitely respect mystery as the best type of fear.
But do you remember the first movie that you actually went to see? That horror movie that you sort of chose to freak yourself out with?
You know, The Shining is, I think undeniable as probably the best horror film, certainly the best ghost story ever told. Alien is a special movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a true classic. And I'll say Nightmare on Elm Street as well.
Yeah.
The way that, and by the way, Nightmare on Elm Street is sort of the opposite, especially as the franchise unfolds, the opposite idea of just give them all the gore, give them all the horror. It creeped me out in a very special way because it did, you know, there was little left to the imagination, and Freddy had this.
Freddy Krueger, the main villain.
Yeah, this messed up sense of humor that was just like, that was particularly psychopathic for me, but
it's true. Also, the thing about that movie is that there is no escape. You can't even sleep. You can't. Freddy Krueger kills people in their dreams. So when you go home after you see the movie and you try to go to sleep, that's actually the most vulnerable you could be.
Yeah, you know,
what a horrible thing to do to children.
The best horror movies hit on some fear that all of us have that is relatable. Jaws made the water scary.
That's true.
So it was tricky to do a movie about race that, you know, you could say has, you know, people have very different experience of what it means, what race means in this country. It's tricky to do that in a way that's inclusive, in a way that allows everybody to relate to the main character thoroughly.
Well, let's talk about this, actually. So one of the things, actually, that horror is really great at, it's almost expected in a horror movie to take on taboos or difficult issues, and you have, and you've taken on racism, but you haven't taken on like the classic evil racist. It's, you've called them liberal elites, the people that would consider themselves above racism.
Right.
Why pick that?
Well,
and why this way?
You know, many of us think we're above racism, like we're the one person who has it figured out. And I think that that's part of the problem, is that nobody is really willing to look at themselves as, you know, having our own personal racisms that we figure out. So the group, to me, that was more enticing to create this horror movie around was a group that might provide a false sense of security in the beginning to this black character and feel like, okay, you're in... you're welcome in this environment.
It's this white suburb, this white family that seems totally hip.
They're hip. They're into it. They're into the fact that, you know, their daughter is dating a black person, and that's like in some ways it's the anti guess who's coming to dinner in that way. It's like the creepy part here is that they almost don't skip a beat.
Meaning,
as in Chris is dreading this moment
character.
That they first see him. And, you know, they haven't been told that their daughter is dating a black man. And, you know, he's dreading the first moment where maybe there's a disappointment or some, you know, little...
Yeah, a flicker of recognition that this is not typical.
Right. Like, you know, the Spencer Tracy, Katherine Hepburn roles in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, You know, that movie was about the idea of, you know, people who are, you know, okay with black people, but not in my family when it comes down to it. Well, yeah. This is, you know, the creepiness of the absence of a sort of racial acknowledgement at first.
So how long has this been going on, this thing? How long?
4 months.
4 months?
Mm. 5 months, actually.
She's right. I'm wrong.
Attaboy. Better get used to saying that.
That is, you know, almost as unsettling or more in this time where there's a certain dynamic expected.
Maybe the real horror is the fact that we're not talking about this, basically, that we're not even acknowledging that there might be these barriers between us as races.
Absolutely. The film, I designed the whole film in the post-racial lie. America. Obama was president, and it felt like there was a denial of racism as a problem. It was this feeling like we have a black president, so why perpetuate it by continuing to bring it up? You know, so the movie is about the neglect of this real horror that many of us know we've never been past. Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting reaction to this movie where I did get, obviously it's a small inkling, but a little bit of an inkling of what it must be like to be a person of color and when you're interacting in a world of people not of color. Mm-hmm. And just the exhaustion of it, first of all, is one of the things that was put across. It just felt exhausting and just kind of scary and not knowing what's going to happen next. Is that just a happy byproduct of the movie that you made, or who did you aim this movie at, I guess? Was it aimed at somebody like me, or was it aimed at people that have to go through this every day?
It was aimed at everybody, but aimed at everybody, I think, through slightly different reasons. For a black horror movie audience, I wanted to give them the movie they've always wanted and haven't gotten. Yeah. The representation of the perspective and skin in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody who's not black, for someone who's not a minority, for someone who may not feel in their day-to-day basis in touch with the idea, the fear of being the other or being, you know, not part of any specific group. Yeah, I think this is what the power of story is. We can use when story is entertaining, we can use it to step into each other's shoes. Right?
Sure.
You have a protagonist. Like, we've got this surrogate that everybody in the theater is seeing through the eyes of Chris.
Yeah, and whether you're white or black.
Whether you're white or black. Everyone's in it together. I don't think there's a feeling of separation when you're watching the film.
No. I will say, though, I saw it in a mixed audience.
Yeah.
It was a preview audience. And it was
some slightly different responses.
Yes,
going on.
It was remarkable. I mean, the black people in the audience. It's really true. I got this feeling that it was like at last the people were really happy to finally see themselves portrayed in that way.
Yeah, you know, I think that black people are really loyal horror fan base. You know, as you know, many minority groups. I think are.
Yeah, why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is horror is one of the ways we purge our fears of the real life horrors. Mm-hmm. And when you have an oppressed group, you've got more horrors to purge, I think. Mm.
It's interesting. I remember from film school, there was one reading of horror movies that they're always about society versus the other. That's one of the readings of it.
Wow.
Which is interesting because that's true. You can use a horror movie as a kind of gauge of whatever society is afraid of at that moment.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, when you said that, I originally thought of the villains of this movie as being society and the protagonist being the other.
Exactly. But it's a flip on that because we're in the point of view of the other in this case. We're not against the other. We're for him.
Yeah. Look, society is, to me, the most fascinating monster of all. I have a lot of ideas about this social thriller genre that I think Get Out fits into. I think you know, it's in the mold of the Stepford Wives and Rosemary's Baby and what they did with gender, what Cronenberg's Fly did with, you know, the allegory for the AIDS epidemic, which of course is not as directly a social thing as it is a straight up murderous virus. But I think that I'm fascinated with this idea that human beings and the way we interact have a darker, deeper series of demons than we can see in any other kind of horror movie.
I do have to point out that given the topic of this movie, I'm painfully aware that I'm a white guy talking to a person of color about race.
Yeah. You know, people who have seen the movie seem to have this film as, at the very least, a new reference point for how to talk about race. I think part of the issue with our being able to begin to heal is that conversations about race are difficult. And the way we talk about race is broken. You can just tell by how uncomfortable it is, and how much the deep emotions of guilt, of anger that these horrors arise in people. Mm-hmm. And I think most importantly, racist. You know, the word racist cuts really deep and prevents all of us from looking at our own dealings with racism.
For fear of being called one.
Fear of being called one. So I think that it is correct to feel awkward talking about it the way it is. And yeah. And I feel like that's part of the process, part of what we need to get over as a society. And so hopefully this kind of movie that's entertaining, you know, like I said, it's meant to be inclusive. It's meant to give us a less awkward way to talk about it.
That's so funny because it's true. It did. I mean, like, we're having this conversation, so it worked.
Yeah.
But, like, definitely the thing that I would not say about this movie is that it's easy to watch in the sense that it's suspenseful as hell. Like, I came out of this movie. I was with my girlfriend. And I was like, you know what? Let's take a walk. It was like 11 p.m. I was like, let's walk around the block. Let's get some stuff done.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the time we got home, the adrenaline had worn off. It was like, let's not take a walk.
Yeah,
at all.
Right on. Well, it's not easy, and it's, you know, I'm very much utilizing in the movie how uncomfortable these racial situations can get.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the most successful device in that we use in the movie is we offer these great releases from that tension.
So the humor,
the way the last act of the movie unfolds is very much designed to give the audience what I've asked them to be. To wait for patiently.
Yes,
in
no spoilers.
Uncomfortable situation, yeah.
But let's just say it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. I did want to ask you that about comedy, though. Do you think that there's having the comedy background, do you think that it gave you a leg up in a way that maybe other horror movie directors who don't have that background?
You know, I know it definitely was huge for me to be able to pull from, you know, the way I look at comedy. And, Which is that you have to be conscious of what an audience is feeling and thinking from moment to moment. You don't really have the freedom to say, well, you know, everybody's going to pull from this moment what they want. No, you want everybody on the exact same page at all times. So there's a certain precision with the storytelling.
Mm.
Then also for the tonally, both horror and comedy, I believe, require a certain amount of realism. Certain amount of grounding.
Which is so funny because I don't think that's how anybody thinks of either of them.
Yeah, I think a horror movie is only as scary as it is realistic. That's why The Exorcist is terrifying.
Yeah.
Something as well acted as The Shining. Jaws. Even the found footage phenomenon, I think, just tapped into...
Blair Witch Project.
Felt more real somehow than what we've been used to. The same consistent comedy for me as well. Even the broadest comedy, it's the reaction, the way we tie comedy to a reality that kind of works to me. I mean, my I love, you know, like the British Office, you know, as a style. It makes me squirm, and it could not be more real.
It's interesting that you'd say that comedy and horror work in similar ways. It makes me think of. I'm going to forget their name. League of Gentlemen or League of Ordinary Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Where's that British?
The comedy team?
Yeah. League of Extraordinary?
Well, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a comic book. So this is the League of Gentlemen.
Or
yeah.
something.
Who, you know, who I always hear of and I haven't partaken.
It is the closest. There was a point about 4 or 5 episodes into that series where I was like, I don't think this is comedy anymore. I think this is a horror
wow.
show. It's really oh. horrifying.
Well, sounds like my kind of
do it
weird thing.
We have 2 questions that we ask everyone okay. on the show. Question number 1 is, if we meet you at a dinner party, what question should we not ask you?
If you meet me at a dinner party, you know, first I would say, don't ask me what I would like to eat, because I might think you are the wait server.
Okay. If you're a guest, don't ask me what you'd like to eat.
Don't confuse me. I've met a lot of people, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't know, man.
Is there something you're asked all the time that you're just like
something I'm asked all the time? You know, I would say, you know, people ask me why I'm obsessed with race. And
really?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not even a question that you can't ask me. But, you know, I think within the need to ask that question is also a need to not discuss race mm-hmm. and a fear of that discussion. I feel like the discussion, however it happens, if it's a movie, if it's a awkward conversation, if it's, you know, a TV show, I feel like the communication is the only weapon we have against the true horrors and violences in the world. So we have to just keep talking about what we see.
Our second question is to tell us something we don't know. And this can be about anything, about yourself, a piece of trivia about the world, maybe a piece of horror trivia.
You don't know. Well, I'm a huge fan of I'm a huge Disney fan.
Really?
Yeah, I love Disney. Growing up, I love Disney movies. The amount of precision that goes into Disney movies is, you know, one of like the core inspiring ideas for me as an artist. It's like you want to try and get something perfect. Disney is kind of like weird, happy Kubrick.
That should be the name of a band, too.
Happy Kubrick.
Kubrick or what's his name movie? An Adam Sandler film, maybe.
Happy Kubrick, wait. I gotta coin that, because if I can do Happy Kubrick, the film, then...
I just made you $1 billion.
You made me $1 billion.
You're welcome.
But you're involved. You're a producer.
Oh, great.
You're in, so...
It's on tape, or I'll sue you.
We got it.
Thank you so much for talking to us, Jordan Peele.
Thank you.